Back to when I first started in this business, there were probably 30 commercial banks financing, mm-hmm. you know, development mining projects. Mm-hmm. Now there's probably a handful, five international banks that finance single asset mine development company, that's it. What's made up the difference and what's kind of changed that? It's purely because mining is not a huge sector. They've all gone into tech, they've gone into other, they're using the balance sheets for other industries. Right. So that's reduced the commercial banks in the mining space. So private equity obviously has stepped up. That's grown hugely over the last 15 years. Private credit as well has mm-hmm. stepped up. So a lot of private credits into the mining space now.
David Rhodes, Endeavor Financial. Good afternoon to you, my friend.
Hey, Andy. Good to be here. Good to chat.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. So our good friend Jeff Phillips introduced us here. I wanted to ask you about, you finance a lot of deals. You're the financial on a lot of these companies here. What's changed, or has anything changed in 26? How do you see that? Yeah.
So I've been in the financing game, and this is more the debt financing game, for over 25 years. And I say 25 because I don't really give away my true age, but more than 25 years in that sense. And there's been a huge shift in financing, small companies that are trying to develop a mine, or even the larger companies developing a mine. Mm-hmm. If I go back to when I first started in this business, there were probably 30 commercial banks financing, mm-hmm. Development mining projects. Mm-hmm. Now there's probably a handful, five international banks that finance single asset mine development company, that's it. What's made up the difference and what's kind of changed that? It's purely because mining is not a huge sector. They've all gone into tech, they've gone into other, they're using the balance sheets for other industries. Right. So that's reduced the commercial banks in the mining space. So private equity obviously has stepped up. That's grown hugely over the last 15 years. Private credit as well has mm-hmm. stepped up. So a lot of private credits into the mining space now. Additionally, the streamer and royalty guys,
right.
They now are part of the financing solution.
Right.
10 years ago, it wasn't really, it had a bit of a bad smell about it. It's expensive but now most of the financings have some royalty or stream involvement in that. And I think, lastly, and this is the biggest push in the last couple of years, is government money.
Right.
So the critical metals, the push for critical metals, the push against China, who are basically a monopoly. Mm-hmm. We've had the US leading the way, mm-hmm. Saying they want to have their own supply of critical metals, want to have their own, in-house, growth in the sense of critical metals. And then you also have, Australia as well. They've set up their own funding systems to improve their critical metal supply for them and right. their counterparts and their friends. And then the Europeans, a little bit later than the rest, but the Europeans are now on the scene of setting up their own critical metal funding systems.
How is that working? Is it like its own fund, government fund that you work with? Or yeah, talk to me about that.
Well, it is, to be honest.
Sovereign wealth fund?
Yeah, like that. But let's take the US as an example, because obviously big money, big players in the space. So US Exim is a government institution which probably 10 years ago was involved in the mining industry. Mm-hmm. Did quite big deals, $1 billion type financing. So. Right. Alumbrera, some of the big mines would have US Exim. And it's a US government funded body for exporting, products mm-hmm. for the business. So it has to have a US angle, obviously, US ownership, and they were very much involved. They went quiet for 10 years because they went to other sectors. Boeing, the big guys, mm-hmm. the big guys. So with the change in government in the US, or leadership, I should say, the mm-hmm. fact that it's now, make good in America, make things in America. There's programs that the US Exim guys now have where if you have a US project and it's got a critical metal, mm-hmm. you can get financing from US Exim. So give an example, we're working with Perpetua.
Yeah.
That's the Stibnite gold and antimony mine.
Right.
Its feasibility is now starting to get into construction. We're working with US Exim to get the funding to develop and build that mine. And we're already in the $3 billion funding range.
So when you say that you're working with them, they're just...
They are providing the finance.
They are providing the finance.
They are the sole financier for that mine, providing the... They've gone through their credit approvals, they've got the approvals to lend the company the money to build it.
So does this mean working with these sovereign funds, for lack of a better word, is there more bureaucracy? Is there less? Is it more streamlined? Does it make it... Yeah, talk to me about that.
Well, you mentioned a government institution. So I think you know the answer. you're trying to feed me to go there. Yeah,
right.
Of course. I mean, they are... And they've been out of the market for 10 years. So they're very much back in the marketplace. Obviously, the personnel 10 years ago aren't there. They've changed. Mm-hmm. So there's a bit of an education process that we're doing with them to get them up to speed with where the mining market is now on the debt side.
Right.
But they've done a fantastic job.
Okay.
Yeah, of course, they've got bureaucracies. They've got levels of, I mean, the transaction has to be vetted by the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that takes a bit of time.
Right.
So there's internal policies they have to go through where a commercial bank has like one credit committee. They have multiple credit committees and approval processes to go through. So yes, slightly more bureaucratic. Also, their mandate is set by the government.
Sure.
So there's strict criteria.
Right.
Well, a commercial institution may be a little bit more flexible.
Got it.
And that's really where the private credit guys have been quite valuable in the mining space, because they have flexibility. They're really looking at returns for their LPs, their investors.
Right.
So they have a little bit more flexibility, and they've really filled the marketplace in the last 7 years.
Right.
And the private credit guys.
Well, when you talk about private credit guys, do you mean royalty companies or?
No, I'm all Orion Mine Finance,
yep.
The Orion guys, and they've been very big. I mean, RCF on that side as well. So really the private credit guys that moved into private credit on that side. So Orion Mine Finance, obviously one of the larger players that's grown up in the last 10 years. Oscar and the team have done a great job financing their projects around the world.
Well, you're also the chairman of Empress Royalty, and
thank you for mentioning it.
Yeah,
yes.
Well,
I was just about to, obviously.
Yeah, talk to me about that. And when I say, how is that working with financing the construction of mines? And what's the place in there for that? And also talk about, there's been a lot of royalty companies that have come up in the really last, I would say, 10 to 15 years. What's the differentiator, and how do you get deals is really what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, sure. So the involvement or the generation of starting Empress was from Endeavour Financial. So as Endeavour Financial, we obviously source financing for companies. And we had a few companies looking for small streams and royalties to fund their businesses. And there was no one doing 25 million sub 25. There's no one doing it. I mean, Wheaton do 100 million.
It's
so big.
Yeah,
so big and powerful now.
Right.
They don't do. So we thought, okay, there's no one doing them. Wow. Okay, that's a business opportunity.
Right.
There's no competition.
Right.
So 6 years ago, we set up Empress to fill that gap. Mm-hmm. So it helped out Endeavour Financial, you know, and we can provide all the smaller deals that we see as our business into Empress as a feeder for their business model. And it was perfect. I mean, when we set it up, you know, we got a team together, Alexandra Woodger-Sharon, who used to work with me at Endeavour Financial, and David Lang, who used to be Endeavour Mining, and one of our advisors on the technical side. So we had a very good team of people we'd worked with before, came together and, you know, hit that sweet spot, you know, the sub $25 million range. And no one touches it, it's too small.
Right.
And you do the same amount of work as 100 million.
Right.
So they're going,
why would you do that?
Why do you do that?
Yeah.
Returns. So there's no one doing it. Your pricing model, your margin, your returns for your shareholders are substantial.
Right.
And I, you know, welcome anyone listening to go and check out on the Empress website, see what we're doing. But we've invested, you know, $23 million to date. Our NAV on the deals we have is well in the 50 millions plus. You know, it's helped with a bit of gold. We're only gold and silver, so helped with the gold and silver price moving up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that we're geniuses, but you know, on that side of things, but we are very wise stewards of our capital because we have a very good team behind us who know what they're doing. So we can analyze opportunities, invest wisely, using our model of going smaller allows us to get a better return for our shareholders.
Yep.
And using our expertise to make sure they're safer bets.
Well, you said a better return. What returns are you looking at relative to a $100 million deal or a $200 million deal?
Well, I can put on my Endeavor financial hat here and say that when we go out for our clients to seek financing, we obviously go out to all the royalty companies. And the Wheatons or Francos, they're like, cost of capital is like less than 2%.
Right.
They're really looking for long-term metal production, long-term, you know, value. So, you know, the 10-year mine life, they're looking for 20, 30-year mine lives. That's why they can do such cheap capital. We're way above that as Empress. So we're in the 10%, higher than 10% range.
Nice.
Because we don't have that kind of capital cost.
Right.
We do have limited capital and the like, the Wheatons and Francos. And that's why getting into this niche market of less players works perfectly with our return.
And
metrics.
You were the first, if not one of the first, in the smaller deal space.
And there's still not many in that space.
Yeah.
I mean, you ask anybody, do you want to do 100 million? Yeah. Do you want to do 10, 5 million? Oh, I can't be bothered. It's too much hard work.
So this is fascinating. How do you find deals then?
There's no shortage.
People coming to you now.
Yeah, people coming to you. But also, you know, if you got a lot of companies, and some of them are private,
right.
Some of them are public, where, as you know, every CEO says their mining company is undervalued. They're all undervalued. So equity is off the table. Debt is an awkward thing because you actually got to repay it. And they've got like covenants and they're like quite restrictive. And if you've got a debt product, you can't do anything else because they want their money back. Streaming obviously is a long-term obligation.
Yeah.
But it's quite easy. As long as you pay us our 1% or 2% of the metal, we'll shut up. We'll just go quiet. You don't need to pay the money. It's just over a longer period of time.
Right.
So it fits very well with quite a few companies. And we really say to the guys, look, you need to expand your plants. You need to do some more underground development work. You don't want to raise equity because you're undervalued, of course.
Right.
Always undervalued. You don't want to do that because it's too laborious and too restrictive. Then our product from Empress is perfect for that. And the most recent deal we did was in South Africa, Golconda. They've got a mill that was 50% capacity.
Yeah.
So they had underground workings. They needed some more trucks. So we gave them $5 million. More trucks, more ore in the mill. Double their production, lower their all-in sustaining cash
costs.
Everybody
wins.
Everybody wins. It's very simple in that sense. Very simple.
Yeah. So I was talking to Michelle, part of the team, this morning, and I hope I can say this, you guys had some news come out this morning.
We did.
Talk to me about that.
So I don't know about the rest of you and the rest of it, but this AI thing is blowing my mind. Absolutely unbelievable.
Right?
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, the things it does, I mean, you know, as a business, we've got a consultant that comes in every week to teach us how to use AI.
Right.
Just forget doing anything yourself. You can just talk to it and it'll do something better than you can do. So we've been thinking about this a while, and one of our major shareholders said to us, hey, I've got this AI company that we use, and it's as a business. It's at the moment looking at historical drilling data to find new prospects on drilling and new mines. So an example, maybe a ore body was drilled 20 years ago, 2% copper, 60 million tons, whatever, but then the copper price was low and it got shelved. AI will find those. I went, wow, okay. If AI can do that, can it look at royalties and streams on behalf of Empress and find some of those? So we gave it a test. Last week it came up with one opportunity in like nanoseconds, to be honest.
Right?
Nanoseconds. We looked at it, went, what a great opportunity. This fits our criteria. Okay, we can now, you know,
execute.
Try and execute. We've got to get the guy to, you know, do a deal.
Right.
But all the facts were there. Unbelievable it was. So we just signed this morning a contract with these guys to keep flooding ideas to us. And we started, you know, just signed it this today, press announced today. We've got 5 opportunities already.
Already.
So I need to employ more people, basically. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And the good thing about it, AI, is the parameters you set, obviously we still get tweaking them.
Yeah.
So, you know, over time we'll get better opportunities, more refined opportunities. But they are everywhere. They have got every database, every bit of information ever produced in the world is being sourced.
Right.
When obviously, you know, the guys we work with, the guys we employ, they have a few phone calls, they try and find it. It's unbelievable, the sourcing potential of AI. And I'm very excited. I've always been a believer. Long as it's controlled in the right way.
Right.
And that's another discussion. We're only talking mining opportunities here, so that's fine. Yeah, very exciting opportunity for us.
You know, we started using AI a lot, and I'm just completely blown away. We don't have to pay $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 for all these reports or whatever.
Yeah.
It spits it out for us in just a few minutes, and it thinks for itself.
And then with the criteria setting you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And it gets better, and it gets better. It's like it's thinking for itself.
Well, that's one of our investors, I came to chat with him, and I said, oh, have you got any questions? He goes, yes. He pulled a piece of paper out, and it basically asked AI to search good questions, so ask me.
So he did.
I went, oh, that's very, oh, yeah, yeah. And I said, oh, very good questions. He goes, yeah, I asked AI. You know, if I was Rick Rule, what questions would I ask David Rhodes at Empress? I went, what a clever thing to do.
Right.
So it's taking over. I mean, it's awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, David, if investors, our listeners and viewers out there, which are many, if they want to buy, trade, invest in Empress or find out more, where do they go about doing that? And also, if there's companies out here that a lot of them watch, want to do business with you, how do they get in touch with you?
Sure. So Empress is easy. On the website, contact page. Alexandra Woodger-Sharon, obviously, is the CEO. Michelle Bormio, obviously, is our IR lady. So all their contacts are on the website. Contact them. If you want to chat with me, I'm available too. Just go through them, please, on that basis. And we've got a presentation Alex did yesterday. So I'm sure that'll be up on the video on the
Send it
on
to
the
me.
Website.
We'll put it on our website if you want to.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks. Yeah. So another way to get more information about Empress. Thank you for that. And then have a look. I mean, we are a young company. We doubled our revenue last year. The year before that, we doubled our revenue. This year, we're going to double our revenue. So we made $17 million last year's revenue. We're going to double that this year and hopefully exceed it, depending on precious metal prices. And we're looking now at $20 million in cash, which
nice.
Is gold and silver. We've got a bank facility of $20 million. So we've got $40 million of capital to spend. We're not going to just blow that on anything. We are very good stewards of capital. We've got a lot of opportunities. Now I've got this AI machine spitting them out by what I'm hearing. So we're looking to expand our business and grow. And very exciting times.
Excellent.
Very exciting.
Well, I'll put all of this in the show notes both below on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. David, absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.